You're listening to a Here's Hope America Hope Chest audio sermon. This message is entitled The Christian Standard and is taken from the scripture passage of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 13 through 17. The sermon was given on April the 3rd of 2005 at the First Baptist Church of Branson in Branson, Missouri. The speaker is Pastor Jay Scribner, Executive Director of Here's Hope America.
Little Joey was experiencing his first day of the first grade. And at lunchtime, he packed up his crayons, his paper, his scissors, his paste, and he was ready to head for the door. And the teacher said, "Joey, it's time for lunch. Why aren't you going with the other children?" And Joey looked at the teacher and said, "Well, I always go home when the other kids go to eat. I'll come back tomorrow." And she said, No, Joey, that was last year when you were in half-day kindergarten. This year, you get to stay all day. You go to lunch, and then you come back here in the afternoon and do more work. You're only halfway through the day. There's lots more." Well, Joey thought for a moment, shook his head in frustration, looked at the teacher and said, "Who signed me up for that?" You know, 2 weeks ago, we looked at verses 7 through 12 of Ephesians chapter 5. Paul's blatant exhortation to the church regarding the fact that we are light. That's verse 8. Take your Bibles, keep them open, please. And then he said we are to have no fellowship. How much fellowship? None. No. No fellowship with the darkness. And then that scathing indictment against the 21st century society of America, as identified in verse 12, where he says, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Well, we pick up that passage now with this exhortation beginning in verse 13, and Paul gives us four simple directives regarding the Christian standard. Now, you might be asking, "Well, who signed me up for that?" You know, that's one of the problems of Christianity, to be honest with you, is that after we have accepted God's love, have you done that? And aren't you glad you have? See, after we've accepted God's love, after we've accepted God's grace, after we've accepted God's forgiveness, and God's promise of eternal life, aren't you glad you got in on all that stuff? But you see, one of the problems is that after we've done all that, we then begin to question some of the responsibilities that go along with the exchanged life. Because that is what took place in your life, Christian. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you embraced and exchanged life. Well, it's one thing for us to say, "Yeah, give me this, give me your love, give me your grace, give me your forgiveness, give me your hope of everlasting life. I want all that stuff." But then when we start getting into this book and we start understanding that this exchange that took place means there's some responsibility, there's a standard for us to live. That's what I want to talk to you about. The Christian standard. Well, we're beginning with verse 13 today. Here's where Paul says, verse 13, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever makes manifest is light. Wherefore he said, Awake, you that are sleeping, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." All right, take your bulletin, if you will, please, and let me show you these four things about the Christian standard. Number one, you are to exhibit the way of God. You are to exhibit the way of God. What Paul is saying here in verses 13 and 14 is simply that it is a matter of light and darkness. You're the church. So are you light or dark? Now, I'm not talking skin color here. I'm talking character. I'm talking conduct. I'm talking commitment. I'm talking consecration. Do you have the light of Christ inside of you? He's very blatant about that. He's very clear cut. Of course we do. Do you still find yourself dwelling in the darkness or walking in the shadows? Well, I hope not. Paul has simply said that we are to have no fellowship with works of darkness, but rather our responsibility is to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. And then he points out here in verse 13 that everything exposed by the light is made clear. Look what he says, but all things that are reproved are manifest by the light. It's just like at nighttime, folks. Now at our house we have little night lights scattered everywhere. This has to do, I think, with my wife's ability of decorating. She's created an ambiance and an atmosphere where there's little shadows and reflections. I mean, they're everywhere. We got night lights everywhere. And they just stay on all the time. So when it gets dark, then man, we got these little shadows and these little reflections just everywhere. Now I think that's why we've got all that. However, the older I get, maybe she just didn't want me stumbling all over the house at nighttime as I'm up traipsing around the house. You try walking in the darkness. And the fact of the matter is, there's danger of falling. There's danger of tripping. There's danger of stumbling. There's danger of getting hurt. And that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about the fact that the light is what makes everything clear. Now, church, guess what? Go back to verse 8. Who is the light? We are. You are. And it's the light that makes everything clear. And then he gives us this exhortation in verse 14. He says, get up, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will be your light. A young boy was scoldingly asked by his mother one morning, aren't you ashamed of staying in bed past noon? And the kid said, well, yeah, I'm ashamed, but I'd rather be ashamed than to get up. You know, I think that's the way it is many times with us. We'd rather deal with the shame of something than to change our ways, than to change our life. Now, he's talking to the church. You're not to be asleep. You're not to be living like the dead. That's like the time that 911 was called to report to the church because someone had died during the worship service, and the paramedics came in and they carried out 6 people before they found the person that actually was dead. You are light. And you are given the light of Jesus. And you are to shine the light so that you might exhibit to the lost and to the unsaved world the way of God. Now here's the second thing. And that is you are to exemplify the walk with God. Now, it's pretty simple, and that's found in verse 15. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now, he is saying that if you are to exhibit the way of God, then you need to exemplify the walk with God. Don't mess up.
And that's what he's saying. That's why he says, see then that ye walk, how? What's that word he uses? Circumspectly. Say that with me. Circumspectly. Now, that word simply means giving attention. It would be like this. If we are to walk circumspectly, here's the way we are to walk. That's right. I mean, that's the picture that's here. He's saying if you're to walk in the Christian life, you're to walk in such a way that you're very observant of everything that's around you. The word circumspectly is the word that we would get our word for circumference. And he says as you walk in the Christian life, you are to be keenly aware of everything that is around you. And then in verse 15, in the last part of verse 15, he says, don't be unwise, but be wise. As Christians and as the church, we need to understand that there is a whole lot riding on your life and on your lifestyle. Write these three things down. Number one, you are to demonstrate the love of God. You are to demonstrate the love of God. Number two, you are to display the life of God. And then number three, you are to discipline yourself to the lordship of God. And that's why he's saying this. See then, you're not supposed to be living like the dead because you're not dead. You're not supposed to be stumbling in the darkness because you are light. And so he says then, wake up, don't be asleep. Don't live like the dead. And then he says, see then that you walk circumspectly. As you walk in your Christian life, you be aware of everything that's around you. Demonstrate the love of God, display the life of God, and discipline yourself to the lordship of God. All right, here's the third thing I want you to see. We're talking about the Christian standard. You are to exhibit the way of God. You are to exemplify the walk with God. And number three, you are to be employed in the work of God. That's found in verse 16. He says, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. That's an interesting exhortation. The word redeeming is a word from which we get our word for, our English word for opportunity. And it has to do with taking advantage of the opportunity. The word picture that would be here would be like a ship that takes advantage of the wind and the tide in order to arrive safely in the harbor. That's the way we need to be living our Christian life. It's a tremendous exhortation to the church because I want you to know that we are living in days of tempestuous winds. The waves are violent and the clouds are stormy, and we must take advantage of the time that God gives us in order to make a difference in our world. We're the church. That's what this entire book has been about. One of the most popular coaches in college basketball was struck down in the prime of his life with cancer. Jim Valvano, coach at North Carolina State. And in addressing a team from Duke at the invitation of their coach, here's what he said, quote, "You never know what's going to happen next. Don't ever think that this day doesn't mean anything. It means a lot. Don't think that you have an infinite amount of days left. You don't. So seize this day. Seize this moment and make the most of it." The Bible would say it like this in Proverbs chapter 27. "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for no one knows what a day may bring forth." The Bible would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, "Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time." Now notice what he says in the last part of verse 16 here. He says, because the days are what? Evil. Because the days are evil. You see, for the Christian, those marching orders right there ought to be sufficient explanation to us. We must take the gospel to a world that desperately needs Jesus Christ. We must affect and alter our society. We must share the good news in a world that's filled with bad news. We must bring hope to a hopeless generation. We must proclaim the truth of the one true God. We must share Jesus because the days are evil. All right, here's the last thing I want you to see. We're talking about the Christian standard. He says you are to exhibit the way of God. You are to exemplify the walk with God. You are to be employed in the work of God. And number four, you are to embrace the will of God. And that's verse 17. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Paul concludes this section by simply exhorting us not to be foolish, but understanding who we are, whose we are, and what we are to be about. You are the church. So let's understand what God's will is for us. God has a plan for us as individuals and as a church. God has a purpose for us as an individual and as a church. God has a productivity for us as individuals and as a church. God has a promise for us as individuals and as a church. God has a proclamation for us. God has a pattern for us. God has a project for us. You may be saying, well, who signed me up for this? You did, my friend. You did. When you got saved, when you became a part of the church, when you got redeemed, when you became one of God's kids. Now, Joey, the day's not over. There's a lot more fun and a lot more work to be done for the church and for Jesus Christ. There is a Christian standard to live. It ain't time to go home yet. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the exchanged life. I thank you for the grace that I've received. I thank you for the love that I've received. I thank you for the mercy that I've received. I thank you for the forgiveness that I've received through Jesus Christ. And now, Father, I pray that you would help me to understand that there are some responsibilities that I've received. There's a Christian standard by which to live because I'm a part of the church of Jesus Christ. And I pray this in His name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Hope Chest audio sermon presentation. We invite you to visit our website at www.hereshopeamerica.com for additional audio and video presentations and to contact us if we can be of help to you. We would gladly welcome your partnership with this ministry, as well as welcoming your prayers and the opportunity to pray for you. May God bless you is our prayer. For Here's Hope America, my name is Richard Clare, reminding you, hope has a name, Jesus.